Well, Psalm 55, in verse 22, it says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." I like the message. It says, "Pile your troubles on God's shoulders. He'll carry your load. He'll help you out. He'll never let good people topple into ruin." So what are we supposed to do? Cast means that we're supposed to throw off. So what is a burden? A burden is a weight, something that's a heavy load. If it's a burden, it's a heavy load. I'm not supposed to carry that. I'm not designed to. This says here, I'm supposed to cast it upon the Lord. And it says what? "He will sustain me." That word sustain means to support or to hold up or to provide. It means he's going to help me. So I don't need to be trying to figure out how to carry this heavy load. The minute I'm weighed down with something, I'm supposed to get rid of it. That's what the word says. I'm supposed to cast it upon the Lord. That doesn't mean I'm trying to sit here, figure out how this is all going to work out and how I'm going to do this. He already knows you're burdened with it. See? And when this says cast, that means you have a choice to make. He's telling us, cast it upon him. So that means to me, I can choose to carry it or not. But if I don't cast it, then I'm going to walk around with it. If I do, it says here, he'll sustain me. Amen. Now look at Psalm 91. Psalm 91. It says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Now, you notice here when it says, "he that dwelleth," that means I have a choice to make. That means I could choose not to, right? So that means if I don't dwell in the secret place of the Most High, I'm not abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. I'm hanging out there in uncovered land, right? That means I'm not being protected or I'm not being covered by him. Could mean you're in the devil's territory. It says here, "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." Thank God for the word. "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day." Or we could say today, bullets. Because this says arrows. Today it's bullets, right? So we don't have to be afraid of bullets flying by day. Why? If I'm under his shadow, under his protection, right? And this says here, he decreed something. "I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and strength." So in other words here, verse 6, "Nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee." This doesn't even say what those 1,000 were that fell, what they fell from. It doesn't have to be sickness. It could be just plain old ruin. You know, folks, you know, the news gets on and said, 1 in 3, get this, not me. It don't have to come nigh me. 1 in 3 get divorced. Who says so? You? I get my instructions right here. 1 in 3 get cancer, not me. It don't come nigh me. Why? Because I'm abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. And I say so. Now, he may try, but you just say, get on out. You know, you could have a delivery man come at your door. You can't stop the delivery man from coming to your door and ringing your doorbell. Here's a package for you. I didn't ask for this package. I ain't accepting it. It's no different. You don't have to accept bad news. You don't have to accept things that get delivered, do you? You can if you want. Send it back. That's right. That's exactly right. Send it back. Return to sender. There you go. Verse 8, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Verse 9, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, my habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Hallelujah. No means no. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample underfoot, because he hath set his love upon me. This is almost the Lord's talking back here now. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. Hallelujah. For us, that means you go right over to Ephesians, said, I'm seated with Christ in him at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. Will I satisfy him and show him my salvation? How do you get to long life? Being delivered from all of this stuff. Hallelujah. When you're delivered and no evil shall come nigh your dwelling or nigh you, you will get to a long life. Hallelujah. Bless God. Hallelujah. So I want to look at something today, and I want us to go over to the book of Hebrews for a minute, and I want to look at something. Hebrews chapter 3. I want us to look at let's look at verse 12, starting in verse 12. And here you can see here they've been delivered out of, talking about the Israelites have been delivered out of Egypt. And here it says, take heed, brethren. Who's brethren? That's talking to us. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. What is unbelief? Evil. Yeah, it's an evil heart. In departing from the living God. But this says here, but exhort one another, how often? Daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as what? As in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. So, all did not, they came out, but all did not get into the promised land. Why? Because they hardened their hearts and they didn't receive what was shared. And so what did they have to do? They had to walk around and wander around the desert for 40 plus years. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it, it says here, was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in. How? Because of unbelief. Now look at verse chapter 4. Let's continue here. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left to us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. So this, he's writing here, he's referring to the Israelites who were delivered out of Egypt and didn't get into the promised land because of unbelief. And he's saying here the same thing could apply to you, that you don't enter into the promises of God, you don't enter into his rest because of unbelief. So he said here, for unto us, verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. Them who? He's talking about the Israelites that were delivered out of Egypt. And he said here, but the word preached did not profit them. You could say the same thing. He that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder. That means it didn't profit because it wasn't, they didn't come to him in faith. So this says here, the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now that may sound, it says they, it wasn't mixed with faith with them that heard it. Now the way you read that in the King James, it almost sounds like with them that heard it. Who do you think that means? With them that heard it. Huh? Wrong. That's why you need to sometimes look at other translations and other manuscripts. That's what I thought, and I've read that. It's not talking about the children of Israel. It's not talking about the Israelites here. It says, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Let me read this out of the Amplified. This says here, for indeed we have the glad tidings, the gospel of God, proclaimed to us just as truly as they, the Israelites of old, did when the good news of deliverance came from bondage, came to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them because it was not mixed with faith. And then, of course, the Amplified amplifies, it says, with the leaning of the entire personality on God, an absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. But listen to this. It says, by those who heard it, neither were they united in faith with the ones, Joshua and Caleb, who heard and believed. So it did not profit them because they didn't mix faith. They were not united in faith with the ones that heard it and believed. That's what that means. So, when you read that, listen to the way that's written in the Amplified, and then also, here's some other translations. Let me read this from, this is the New International. For we also have heard the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. So, they didn't share in the faith of those who obeyed. Who obeyed. You know, when you think about this, we'll go over here in a minute. But when you look at Joshua and you read the account of Caleb, only two, Joshua and Caleb, two. When you read through the book of Numbers and you read through Joshua, when God ordered and commanded them to take a count in the 12 tribes, it says, count up the number by tribes of those who were 20 and up in age. There were over 600,000 counted by tribes, the 12 tribes, who were 20 and up, who could go to war. But that was not all of them. They say the historians estimate there were about 2.4 million people. And only two. How would you like to have wandered around the desert? Only two of you believed with a bunch of non-believers and grumblers. How would you like to have done that for 45 years? You think you're waiting for a long time. And so, when you think about this, this here is talking about, it says here, for unto us the gospel was preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it, and you could almost say, and believed. So when you look at the New International Version and you look at the Amplified, it says it didn't profit them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Well, now, if the gospel was preached to us, it won't profit us if it's not mixed with faith. And here's the thing. It's important, as important here, think about this for a moment. Here you had two men, Joshua and Caleb. Let's go over there for a minute. Because this has application in who you hang out with. And the majority is not always right. Because in this case here, the majority was wrong. Let's go over to Joshua. Well, actually, let me just look here a second. I really want to go to... Joshua. Yeah. Go to Joshua 14. And look at verse 6. Joshua 14, starting in verse 6. It says, then the children of Judah came into Joshua, unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. So here, Caleb saying to Joshua, you know the thing that Moses said unto me. So Moses had spoken some words to him. Look at verse 7. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of God, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. That's why it's important what words you embrace, what words you're hearing, what words you embrace. But I wholly, this is what he said, I wholly followed the Lord my God. That means holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y. He completely followed the Lord. What did the Lord say? You can go back to Numbers. He said, I've given you the land. Go in and take it. And Caleb said, and Joshua, let's do it. I completely followed the Lord. But this group that he went into Kadesh Barnea, he said, they came and affected the people. But it didn't affect him. And Moses, verse 9, and Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and the children's forever, because thou hast wholly or completely followed the Lord thy God. My God. And now, listen to this. This is that they've been wandering around here. This is after all of this, right? How would you like to have wandered around 45 years in the wilderness with a bunch of grumblers? Man, I mean, think about that. 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. You're with a group of people that ain't got nothing good to say about nothing. And you're a faith person. Still holding on. What if God spoke a word to you and said, you're going to do such and such? And this group says, no, we can't do that. And you've got to go hang out with this group for 45 years. And you've held this in your heart that you're going to do this. How would you like that? Don't tell me that the thought may not have occurred to Caleb, I've had enough of this group. I've had it. So what does it say here, verse 10? And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. And he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. How old is that? 85. And yet, listen to this, this faith, I'm telling you, can you imagine? This is somebody who wandered around with them for 45 years. And he's still talking faith. He said, and as yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. Whew, yeah, that's something. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war. Both to go out and to come in. Hallelujah. So he's saying, let's do it. Let's do this thing. I tell you, we need to watch who we're around, what people say, and embrace a lie instead of the truth. Because the majority of the people could say, we can't make it. You know, society is such, you know, we just can't. We hear this so often without getting into trouble here. We've heard, you know, people that go into the school system and work in the school system with kids. And they're in a system that has a grip on things about what they teach children and what they convey. And you have teachers that go in with all good intentions, good heart, and before you know it, they've submitted to the process in such a way where the majority says, you can't change this system. It is what it is. Well, you've just now submitted to something that if God has put it in your heart to go in there and make an impact, then you go in and make an impact. And it's no different whether it's that or whatever job you go in. I'm not telling you to go in and preach the gospel and not work. I'm not saying that. But if you're going into an environment, you are a light set upon a hill that should shine bright. You are the salt of the earth. That means you need to be having an impact in some place. And if they don't like you and they want to get rid of you, then you dust off the feet and you move on. But while you're there, you make an impact. And don't submit to the lie that you can't have an impact. Yes, you can. And you should. Hallelujah. Let's look at Numbers here for a second. Go over to Numbers 13. Look at Numbers 13. We just looked at Joshua and Caleb. He said, just got done reading. He said, I completely followed the Lord. I'm as young now as I was when I was 40. But look at verse 30 in Numbers 13. It says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Look at chapter 14 and look at verse 6. And it says here, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Look at verse 9. It says, only rebel not ye against the Lord. You know, unbelief is rebellion. When you're in unbelief, it's rebellion against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not. You know, when you look at verse 6 and it says they rent their clothes, just think about this. When you're in faith about something and somebody's in unbelief, let me ask this question. Does it vex your heart? It sure does. Words of unbelief can be vexing to your spirit. What does that mean? It troubles your spirit. It bothers you. It vexes you. And you know what? People of faith vex those that are in unbelief. The reverse is true. When you're in faith and you're talking faith and you're believing God, it vexes those who are in unbelief. They can't handle it. They don't bother. They don't like it. It vexes them. Because this is what they're saying here. Caleb stilled the people. It bothered them. Oh no, we can't go in and do that. He said, yes, we can. See? So we need to understand that when we're walking in faith, it matters who we hang around. What'd your mama say when you were growing up? Birds of a feather flock together. Don't hang around with people like that. It'll get off on you. Go over to Proverbs for a second. Take a look at some scripture here for a second. Proverbs 13. Look at verse 20. Proverbs 13, verse 20. It says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You ever notice here, it doesn't say, see, somebody could say, who walk, hanging with people could say, I'm not a fool. Yeah, it didn't say you were. It says a companion of fools. It didn't say a fool that hangs with fools. It says a companion of fools will be broken or destroyed. So if you hang around fools, you will become foolish, even though you may not have been a fool. But this says also, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. That didn't say you were wise. It just said if you hang around wise people, you'll become wise. So it's important that if God has placed you and supernaturally has put you together with a company of believers who believe, don't hang with fools. Don't hang with people who are full of unbelief. Connect with people who believe and trust God. Connect with people that will say, we can do this. We can take this. We can overcome this. But don't hang with people who are unwise. You should accept. That doesn't mean that you don't love people. That doesn't mean that. But when it says here, he that walketh, that means you're spending a lot of time with them. We're not talking about visiting. You know, you can visit with folks and be loving. But walking means I'm hanging with you. We're walking somewhere together. That means we're spending a lot of time together. See? That means if I'm walking with you, then you need to be wise. Otherwise, I may not spend as much time with you. Is that understood? And that means to be, we need to understand that. Flip over to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, and look at verse 24. It says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. You're going to learn his ways. You may not be an angry person. Is a person running off? Are they angry? Are they spouting off? You may not be that way, but you could become that way if you hang around them. What's verse 25? Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. See, so that means you can learn people's ways by spending time with them. What kind of person are they? You can learn their ways. See? 1 Corinthians, let's go over to the New Testament. Let's look at this. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, and look at verse 33. It's in the New Testament. It says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. So you need to be conscious of who you hang around. And the devil, I will say it this way, the devil tries to separate individuals from a company of faith. Somebody gets offended, I don't like this, I don't like what they said, so I'm not going to be with them. I'm not going to walk with them. Or I don't like what happened in church, whatever it is. I don't like this. And the devil will try to take offenses to separate people so that they're not together with a company of believers. Because that company of believers, remember, if we're walking in faith together, see, there's strength in unity. It's what happened here. You had 2.5 million people, the majority, and really when you think about this, when you look at Numbers 13, let me just go back there for a second. When you look at this, how many spies did Moses send into the promised land? 12, right? 12. Two came back with a good report. 10 individuals, what did this say here? It says, but the men that went up with him, that means 10 of them, it says, where did it say this here? Where did it say that? Was it here? Where did I read that? It says they affected the people. I just read that. Huh? Maybe it was Joshua. I'm looking at Numbers. I missed that. Let me go back over here. See if that's where it was. Yeah, it's Joshua. Joshua 14. I'm sorry. In verse 8, it says, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. So that means 10 individuals influenced over 2 million people. So it's important what we hear, what we listen to, what we embrace. And when you go back and you look at what Hebrews 4 said, the message they heard didn't profit them because they did not share, that was the NIV, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Who obeyed? Joshua and Caleb. That was it. So the same thing happens here in our dispensation. The word that we receive may or may not profit us if we don't mix faith with it. And in this case here, what it says is that it's not being mixed with faith with those who believed. Who believed? The people that you surround yourself with. Wouldn't you see? Do you see that? If you surround yourself with people that don't believe, it will cause your heart to melt. You need to be around people that believe and embrace and trust God. That's what Hebrews chapter 4 said. Said, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. He's talking about us also here. The word that is preached to us can profit us or not profit us based on us mixing faith with it. But it also says it didn't profit them. It not being mixed with faith in them that heard it, or in those that, and this says here, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. What does that mean today? Somebody in your setting, somebody that you know has been blessed or has walked through and has a testimony of how God delivered them through some event in their life. Whether it's financial, marriage, finances, health, whatever it is. And they've delivered and shared this testimony and shared what God has done in their life. Not just one, but many in your company. And you go, but you don't understand. It will not profit you unless it's mixed with faith. And it says here, and it didn't profit because you didn't share the faith of those that believed. The ones that believed in your company and got delivered, it may not profit you if you don't share in the faith that they had that delivered them. Is that understood? Does that you understand that? You see that? It can profit us or not. That's why testimonies are great. Because you hear not just the word of God, but you hear a living testimony. Hear this group here. Not only did they hear Moses say, the Lord said, you can have this land. Not only that, but they had witnessed being delivered out of Egypt. They saw the Red Sea parted. They saw manna coming every day. They didn't live in the desert for 45 years. There was no food. There was no water. They had to be sustained by God. So they had miracles happen in their life. And so after all of this, and the signs and the wonders, and for Moses to say, God has said, you can go in and take the land. And they said, yeah, but we saw it for ourselves and we can't do it. See? So it's no different in our lives. When we see miracles happen, we may have experienced some things. And so when we have a different testimony or a different word in our mouth that it's not possible, see, we need to be careful about that. We need to be very careful what we're listening to, who we listen to, who we walk with, what we believe. Because the scripture says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me and strengthens me. And what has this new covenant, if that happened to them in the Old Testament, we've got a newer and better covenant purchased with the blood of Jesus. So if all of those things were afforded them, why can't we? Why can't we walk in divine health? Why can't we walk in divine supernatural prosperity? Why can't we walk in the blessings of God? Because it's got to be received and mixed with faith. It has to be. Otherwise, you're not going to walk in it. It's not just going to fall on you and happen in your life without you saying, I believe it, I take it. And now, regardless of what I walk through, I'm going to begin to talk like what the word says. You know, let me just share something. Go over to James for a second. We'll close with this scripture. Go over to James. And look at chapter 3. It says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For many things we offend all. If any man offend not in what? In word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And then, of course, it goes on and talks about the tongue a little more. But when you think about a rudder in a ship, it can change the direction of this ship. It doesn't just change immediately. But the minute I begin to move the rudder in a different direction, the ship begins to turn. It begins to change what? Course. And so the same thing in our own lives, our tongue is the rudder like the ship. And the minute we begin to change what we say, it will begin to change the direction of our life, whether that's good or bad. And so we need to watch what we say. What are we supposed to say? Not, in other words, just like Caleb and Joshua. When God gives us something in the Word of God and I see it, then I'm to do what? Embrace it and begin to act on it. Begin to talk like it's mine. And I begin to walk in it. Do I actually see what I would call the fruit of what that says? maybe not immediately, just like a ship. That rudder is turning the direction of the ship. It's going to take a while for this ship to change course. I might be going south and I need to go north. Well, it's not just going to do a 180. It's going to take some time to turn this direction around. And so the same thing. If I've been speaking things in my life that are negative, it may take a while to change the direction of my life and change the course of my life with the words that I begin to speak or change. And so that's why it's important, just like Caleb and Joshua, when he said, I wholly followed the Lord. He was having an impact on the people, but the people wouldn't receive it. They didn't listen. So what happened? They had to wander around. Until what? They all died off. And so we know it was possible. Think about this. We know it was possible to take the land because after they all died off, the next generation went in and took the land. So it was possible. But that next generation, that unbelief had to die off. And God wasn't pleased with it. And so when God has a plan in mind, see, if you won't embrace, see, God is going to get done what he wants to get done. If he raises up, he raises up and he puts down. If he raises something up with an objective to take a land, a city, a nation, and you don't walk with that vision, he'll just let you do what you want to do, and he'll raise up somebody else, but he is going to do what he's going to get done. He's going to get it done. And so that's why I'm a stickler for when God has spoken something, I say it, I don't care. What they say, hair, lip, the devil, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it sounds like. I don't care what it looks like. I'm going to say what God says. You think about this. What did Noah have to do? How many years did Noah build an ark? And he kept saying, get it together. He was a preacher of righteousness. I think that's over in 1 Peter. He said, Noah, a preacher of righteousness. That means he was telling people, get it right. If you don't, there's a flood coming. See? So, we need to say what God says in our life, even though it doesn't look like it. Because it will not profit us unless it's mixed with faith. So God can't sustain us. He can't. Amen. I don't care how bad it looks like. I don't care how bad it feels like or sounds like. We're going to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Glory to God.